Altoff. He joins us, assistant AD for Athletics Performance. How you been? How you doing, big man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Paul Catalina in studio with me. I'm David Smoke. Garrett runs the mothership. Andrew, when I hear Matt Rhule tell me that Jamichael Hasty, who had a monster game, had the largest workload of a Baylor football player during the game, what does that mean and how do you know that?
Okay, so it's basically a unit called player load. So J. Mike's player load was just over 1,200. And just to kind of put that in context, the largest load I'd seen prior to that is like upper 800s, lower 900s. So, you know, it's a good 25, 30% higher than anything I've ever seen. I think the easiest way to explain it is, you know, for everything they do out at practice or doing a game, if they have a big explosive movement, if you imagine the athlete is like a vehicle, they have a big explosive movement, you're putting a big rock in the back of the truck. And they have a smaller movement, you put a small rock in the back of the truck. And as the game or the practice moves on, we keep adding rocks and adding rocks and adding rocks. So that 1,200 player load is something incredibly, I mean, it was, I looked at it and then I ran the data again and then I ran the data again. And then I watched the game and I'm like, that makes sense. Like, I've never seen anything like it before.
He had the two explosive plays, the long catch and run, and then he had the long touchdown run at the end. But also, how much did that also include what he is doing covering kickoffs as well?
Yeah, I mean, so the special team stuff was about 15 to 20% of that. And then another big part of it too, guys, is he's such a great leader, is his movement on the sidelines. Like, he's never sitting still. Like, he'll come over and he'll sit down and then get his adjustments. And then the rest of the time, most of the time, he's moving around on the sidelines, coaching and encouraging. And that stuff adds up too. You know, a lot of the times it's what's happening, you know, between the whistles when they're on the sidelines too.
How long does it take you to break down in what individual things need to be better or worse or, you know, less, more in all those numbers that you have? Because it's a lot of different things that you're going through.
Yeah, so since the beginning of fall camp this year, we've collected over 17 million data points on just football alone. And so we're looking at probably, I would say, between 90 minutes and 2 hours a day just to kind of get into the data and clean it up and look at it and kind of get a feel for it. And then it's a matter of kind of sitting down for probably another 30, 35, 40 minutes and coming up with basically recommendations or thoughts to do, kind of how we can improve and what we can do to manage that the athletes moving forward.
Is this like what you see now with cars and technology where they can plug something in and they can find out what may be wrong with the engine?
And it's a lot like that. I mean, it's kind of funny you bring that up because it's really a collaborative deal. If you look at it, you know, you got to build the vehicle in the first place, right? So I think that you look at like Jeremy Scott and what he does with his strength crew, you know, building the athlete. Then you have, from a fueling standpoint, making sure we're putting the right gas in the tank, making sure we're getting the oil changed. You know, that'd be Juliana Buzzard on the nutrition side. And then Matt Keel with athletic medicine, you know, he's kind of the mechanic. And then really my job is just the diagnostics. So we're plugging it in, we're getting the data, and then we got to get the information to Coach Rhule, who's the crew chief, and help manage the drivers from there.
Andrew Altoff, he's with us, assistant athletic director for Athletics Performance on ESPN Central Texas.
So how much data do you have? Do you throw any? What do you throw out of the information that you get? Or do you get something that's like, man, that looks strange. What was this guy doing today?
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, we'll get basically 430 or so lines of data per athlete, like per period of practice. So if you have a 15-period practice, you know, you multiply that out, and that's by kid. But really, it comes down to, like you're saying, it's not what you look at, it's what you don't look at. And that really can kind of depend based off of body type, time of year, and age. So, you know, I'm not going to really worry, you know, what Sam Tecklenburg's max mile per hour is during the game. But I do want to know what he had from an explosive movement standpoint. I do want to keep an eye on his body weight. I do want to keep an eye on how well he's sleeping at night and those types of things. So it really kind of varies by position group. And you slide to the skill guys, you know, you want to see their max mile per hour. You want to see, you know, their explosive yardage and basically like how fast they're running. So if you look at the GPS unit, kind of like an odometer, I can not only see how far they run as a total, but I can break it down. So I can say, okay, they ran this many yards between this mile an hour and this mile an hour. So everything's not created equal. Obviously, sprinting is more taxing than walking. So for the skill guys, we want to see how much distance they're covering at these high velocities.
How can you tell how they're sleeping at night?
So that is like a self-report questionnaire. So we're going to talk to them. We're going to say, hey, how is your sleep quality? So how much sleep did you get? How good was your sleep? We're going to ask them about their stress. We're going to ask them, you know, how many exams and stuff they have. So really, as part of the monitoring deal, everybody looks at it. Okay, well, we have this GPS. That's cool. And what the GPS does is that kind of gives us, like, the external load. So, like, what are we doing to the athlete? Or in the weight room, how much weight are we putting on the bar? But then you have the athlete perception piece of it. So it's like, how do they perceive this load? And how are they kind of managing themselves? Because, you know, you are your own CEO. At the end of the day, and you leave here and you want to play in the NFL, you know, you have to learn how to manage yourself and kind of run your own company. And that's really a big part of my job, is working with them throughout their time here and helping them understand what they need to do to perform at a high level.
What is the device? Is it something like, for example, there's a heart rate monitor. You put something around your chest, underneath your chest, and you have a watch on that you sync up. Is that what we're discussing here?
So what the unit is, if you just take your iPhone out or your cell phone and just look at it, it's a GPS device that's about half the size of that. And we'll attach it. If they got their pads on, we'll put it basically between their shoulder blades and the back of their pads. If they don't have pads on, we'll kind of put it in like a tight, like dry fit shirt that they'll wear on their back. And then inside of that little unit, there's a gyroscope. And that kind of allows it to see change of direction left versus change of direction to the right. So if you look at like an offensive lineman, let's say you look at a left tackle, he's going to turn to his left about 65 to 70% of the time, just because of that's kind of the load in the game. And then you take that data, and then that allows you to kind of build some work into the offseason.
The reason I asked you about the sleep is it's one of the things that people don't understand or maybe even lie about all the time. Oh, yeah, I slept great. But they believe, as someone who's had sleep issues in the past, it's something that you really do need to know and people don't appreciate. Isn't that true?
No doubt. The easiest thing to do is to break you down, right? It's really easy to break you down. The hardest part of the job of being a student athlete is knowing how to build yourself back up, whether it's through nutrition or sleep. You know, if I said that there was a pill that you could take that would help your ability to process information, you know, to help your body recover and whatever, everybody would be lining up at the store across the street to buy that pill. But if I tell you it's sleep, you know, now it's not necessarily as cool, but sleep can do wonders for performance.
How many programs, is this something where Baylor is ahead of the curve, or Andrew Althoff, is this something that now all 125 or 30 Division I programs, or even Tarleton State or Mary Hardin Baylor or junior colleges, is this something now that everybody's doing? Because it sounds like it could also be expensive and you got to have people to do it to know what they're doing.
Yeah, all of the above. I mean, it's definitely expensive. You definitely got to have people that have it and kind of know what they're doing. But, you know, we were first in the state of Texas, first in the Big 12 to do it a couple years ago. You know, now more people are catching on. I think still at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're doing it or if you're not doing it. But if you're doing it, what are you doing with the data?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you're getting this information from the athletes and then relaying it to the coach, information by itself doesn't lead to behavior change. You know, how are you going to, you know, and I think the worst part is information that's interpreted poorly can also lead to harm. So you have this data. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to build relationships? How are you going to talk to coaches? How are you going to talk to the athletes to actually get something done with the information that you're seeing? I think that's the biggest part of it is a collaborative approach, kind of like what we have here at Baylor, where everybody's working together to put the athlete's best interest in mind.
You know, and this is not just football. You can do this for baseball. You can do it for a lot of different sports as well. So let's
Absolutely.
Say you have a player like Hasty or Lovett, some of those that have they're on not just positions, but they're also on special teams. And we know that what Matt Rhule demands from his players and those who get it that are a part of that. That doesn't mean if they're not a part of special teams coverage that they're not getting it. But do you have an ability, Andrew, then see what a player's done even in practice throughout the week or at game by game, where you then can suggest to a coaching staff, hey, so-and-so's workload has been really heavy. We need to maybe or suggest – that his workload during the week slows down a little bit or is minimized?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way we kind of look at it is basically preparedness. So, like, what are they prepared to do? So you kind of compare what they did today to what they've done over the last couple of weeks. So if it's a load that they're used to handling, you know, most of the time Tuesday practices in season are very similar, and Wednesdays are kind of Wednesday practices. When you get into games, those can kind of be some unique variables. So it's a matter of sitting down on Sunday, going through the data and kind of categorize it by percentiles, where guys fall compared to their position average, where guys fall to like their own individual average, and then relaying that information to coaches as far as, hey, these are the guys we got to keep an eye on this week. You know, they'll be fine, but let's just keep an eye on them. Oh, okay, hey, here's about three or four guys that we really need to watch and potentially limit reps, and then we'll work with the coaching staff to kind of cut back some reps or just, you know, rearranging some of the periods that they're involved in throughout practice and throughout the week to make sure they're ready to go on game day. So we have, just like we have, you know, the GPS to measure what's going on from an external load, we do some things to keep track of the internal load and how the body's responding, and that kind of allows us to adjust that on a day-to-day basis once we get into the practice week.
Andrew, it's amazing because of how much this is come. Did you not speak, or did you help, or were you asked to come visit NASA or vice versa?
Well, it was a little bit of both. You know, I guess sometimes things are rocket science, you know. we got asked to kind of come down there. We built a relationship a few years ago and was fortunate enough to go back down this summer and really kind of present on some of the things that we learned. When we first started doing it, like we said before, nobody was doing it. So you couldn't necessarily call a colleague or somebody within your network across the country because it wasn't really being done. So we were like, who's in our region? Who's in our network? Let's start with Texas first. So we went down and visited. And the origination was really, okay, if the astronauts come back down from space, you know, they're probably weaker. They probably have less bone density. What does NASA do to basically reacclimate the astronauts to living back on Earth and living back and getting used to gravity? And let's kind of take that data and let's take that information and what they do to the astronauts and let's build it into our athletes on the front end to make a more robust athlete and build more armor to our athletes on the front end.
I
think that's kind of been the neat part of it is realizing that if they do things well while they're up in space, It prevents a lot of that stuff from happening, just like if we manage our athletes well in season, it makes the work of the off season a lot easier.
What about somebody who's training for something, whether it's a triathlon or a marathon or something that's more is a little more vigorous than being in shape every day, you know, that does something, whether it's weights or cardio or both? What about somebody that does that? Can you also then help them as they prepare for a big event and kind of see what they're doing leading up to make sure that they're right where they need to be on the day that they have that event?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing just that comes right off the top of my head is two different ways you can do it. You can kind of consolidate the stressors. So if you can say, hey, listen, I don't have the schedule that's going to allow me to train, you know, 6-7 days a week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have, you know, 3 or 4 days where I'm really going to get after it. And then I'm just going to kind of be smart and recover these other days of the week. You know, that's one approach. Another approach is what they call microdosing, which is do a little bit of work every single day and just kind of slowly build up an acclimation period or kind of slowly build that up over time and kind of toughen the leather a little bit.
All right. You've been a part of a lot of these, the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, NASA.
Yes,
it's really, really. Andrew, now I remember back when you were on the strength and conditioning staff. Isn't that kind of how you started at Baylor and then it's morphed into what you now do with what all this can be?
Yeah, I mean, that's really where I cut my teeth on the strength conditioning side. And I think I wouldn't have traded that for the world because that really allows me to understand, you know, the intensity and the dosing and the volume and the density, kind of how to spread that stress out. And then at the end of the day, you know, like we talked about before, information doesn't lead to behavior change. You know, when you're a strength coach or when you're on our side of things, like you can't hold playing time over somebody's head. You know, you really have to build genuine relationships and take the time and really get to know your athletes and love your kids up. And I think the strength coach side has really helped me, you know, continue to build those relationships, again, where you can kind of use that information to make some behavior change. But the strength coach part of me, it's still in there. I still get to turn them loose every now and then.
Yeah, it sounds like you do. When I asked Coach Rule about something about what you do, he said, first of all, you know, it's just been amazing. But he also mentioned your smoker. Are you legendary? Are you legendary with the smoker?
Man, I got some skills. I'm still learning. I did my first brisket 2 years ago, so that made me an official Texan once I did my first brisket. But ribs are more my specialty.
Oh, man. Everybody thinks they can do that, though. It's very – you got to be careful. There's a certain way, right?
Well, I mean,
you got to be patient, and that down here, you got to be careful. It's not something you want to brag about because there's some really good – really good smokers down here. You get caught up in an argument in a hurry.
But look, we've been talking to you about data points and this and that. And the other thing, brisket is kind of the, like, slow smoking a brisket is kind of the food equivalent to what you do every day, isn't it?
I think so, man. You got to put it in the smoker, take your time and be patient. You lift the lid up too often and you can let all that let all that deliciousness out. You got to be patient and just kind of let the athlete do the work. And you know, we're talented. We're very fortunate to have some really talented kids and just got to be patient and let Mother Nature do her job.
For those who don't know Andrew, and he's one of the happiest guys I've ever met at Baylor, he currently has a master's in education from Valdosta State, a bachelor's degree in sports science with minors in biology and coaching from, is that Loras College? Is that right?
Yes, sir. Loras College, Dubuque, Iowa.
Additionally, certifications from the National Strength and Conditioning Association, the Collegiate Strength and Conditioning Coaches Association, USA Weightlifting, and Functional Movement Certified. And so there's a lot of background on this, and you're always a guy that's been very, very happy, very, very friendly, and I know that you hear about what the coaches, I've heard the coaches refer to you. I've heard Mac Rhodes refer to what you've done as well. How about the feedback you get from players who can feed off of what you tell them as long as they do it right, but what they say to you?
I think, you know, you can tell when somebody's hurting after a game or they come in on Monday. You know, when I get the knock on the door and the slow shuffle inside, like, coach, I got to get on that massage list, you know, working with the, on the massage and the chiropractic side of things. And then also, you know, spending the time to get in and look at the data and really kind of take your time, you know, with this current generation, you know, text message, you know, some DMs on Twitter and doing that type of stuff. You know, the athletes, I spend a lot of my time with the veteran athletes initially. From a data standpoint, I try to spend my time with the young athletes from an education standpoint and hit them with some education curriculum type stuff when they first get here in the summer. And I think it's a deal where you can tell the athletes that are bought in and you can tell the athletes that do a really good job of taking care of themselves. And it's fun to work with them because you know that it means something to them. And when they come in, it's like, coach, how fast, what was my miles per hour today? What was my player load? I know I had to have a big player load today. You know, it's fun to kind of see them compete. And that's another thing too is, you know, we'll flash the max mile per hour. We'll show top five player loads. We'll do that stuff, you know, once a week now in season. We did it, you know, more frequently when we were in camp. But just to see the competitive drive between these guys, they're so competitive. You know, they want to have the fastest mile per hour. They want to have the biggest player load kind of for bragging rights for the day and just getting to know them that way and understanding how competitive these athletes really are.
Hey, Andrew, thank you, man. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much. It's a good week to have you because it's not an off week because I know you guys are – you practice earlier today, but you still have work to do. Thanks, Andrew. Always great to have you on the show. All right. That's Andrew Althoff, assistant AD for athletics performance. We've heard Mac